A Wednesday Lenten Sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on March 27, 1996, in the series The Experience of God, entitled Sometimes No Light Breaks Through. The scripture readings for the sermon are Psalm 88 and Matthew 27, verses 32 through 50. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
Psalm series concludes this evening. The series has been entitled The Experience of God, for the Psalter is preeminently that place in the Scriptures where we have the soul's encounter with God, full of praise, thanksgiving, lament, complaint, the experience of God. It may seem like a contradiction when I say to you that this concluding psalm, Psalm 88, is the experience of the absence of God. It is the experience of abandonment. It is the dark night of the soul. Jesus, in his experience of desolation, cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And those words come from Psalm 22. And Psalm 22 is one of the most poignant expressions of human suffering that has ever been written. But while it has the deepest expression of abandonment and forsakenness, if you read through Psalm 22, you'll find that the psalm concludes with a sort of resolution and a sense again of the presence of God, and actually ends in an expression of praise. I found in Jerusalem, in the conference where we studied the Psalms, that an observant Jew will recite the Psalms at given times and experiences. There are certain Psalms that are to be said in certain circumstances, and the recitation of those Psalms, most of which are known by heart by an observant Jew, bring to expression that which is being experienced. And so while the cry of dereliction from Jesus was expressing that sense of abandonment, he very well may have been reciting Psalm 22 as an expression not only of his abandonment, but of his ultimate trust and praise, whether he got through the psalm or not. He was reciting a psalm that expressed the darkness but led to the light. But the last word in Psalm 88, which I read a moment ago, is what? Well, you don't remember, of course. But if you had your Bibles open, you would find the last word of Psalm 88 is darkness. It is the only psalm in the Psalter that ends where it begins. It is a cry in the darkness and an expression which has no light breakthrough. It is darkness, period. The last word is darkness. The last word of devotion is darkness. The last breath is darkness. The psalm ends in darkness. And so, how can we think of the experience of God in terms of a psalm whose only experience of God is the experience of absence? If you think for a moment, it is only the one abandoned. It is only the one who has known communion and embrace that can know abandonment. And it is only the one that has known presence that can know absence. We experience the absence only because we have known the presence. And so this cry of the psalmist is the cry in the darkness of one who had known the light. It is the cry of abandonment of one who had known the experience of the presence of God. It is a pathetic cry. All day long I stretch out my hands to you. I lift my soul to you. In the morning, in the evening, I cry to you. I have experienced all your waves and billows washing over me. The psalmist, much more than we, experienced every circumstance of life in direct relationship with God. And the experience that he brings to speech in this hymn is the experience of total aloneness, desperation, reaching, questing, pleading, crying, but knowing absolutely no break of light, no word of comfort, no sign of presence. And so, you might say, why would such a song get in the hymn book? Certainly, I would almost wager my life that on anybody's list of favorite psalms, it has never appeared. It is not the kind of psalm that one opens to in the variety of human experiences, because we read the Bible very selectively. In spite of the fact that the claim that the whole Bible is the Word of God, we could as well do as Jefferson did with his Bible. We could as well cut and paste and construct our own Bible, because we have a very selective scripture. So what will we do with this Psalm 88? Shall we cut it out of the canon? Well, of course, I learned in Jerusalem that if it's in the canon, you've got to deal with it. As a matter of fact, we've effectively cut it out of the canon because we don't often deal with it. Because Psalm 88 is an embarrassment to conventional faith. God isn't supposed to be like that. And our Christian experience isn't supposed to be like that. And the pulpit gets nervous with a psalm like that. And that is only exceeded by the squirming in the pew by a psalm like that. God is not to be reached. Heaven is silent, sealed up. The heavens are brass. The voice rises not beyond the ceiling. There is no hint that God is listening, let alone caring, let alone moving to the desperate straits of this individual who feels his life ebbing away. So why is a psalm like that in the hymn book? Well, Walter Brueggemann would say, because life is like that. Sometimes for everybody. And most of the time for some folk. The only experience of God seems to be the absence of God. And if there is such a thing as honest biblical realism, then again, as I learned as never before in that conference that studied the Psalms, it is the totality of human experience that we bring into the community of faith. And it is in the community of faith that we express the whole spectrum of our human experience. And so the interesting, unique thing about Israel was that it did not turn away from God in those periods of silence in the dark night of the soul, but came into the sanctuary, came into the community, and gave expression to that awful pain of absence. And even bringing to expression that pain of absence was again an experience of presence in absence. And I hope that doesn't sound just like gobbledygook. But it is the very character of Israel's faith down through the thousands of years. And Israel has suffered. My God, these people have suffered. When you think, if you think only of what the Christian church has done to Jewish communities, the pogroms, to say nothing of the Holocaust within our own experience. It is the unique thing about Israel's faith and that which they would teach us, that in the darkness, in the absence, one throws out a line to God when it seems no line is being thrown to one. Henry Nouwen, in a little meditation, speaks about the difference between care and cure as we experience the darkness of another. Wouldn't we love to rush to another in the experience of darkness and effect a cure? But as Henry Nouwen says, to cure without care is to do violence to the other. For what we really need to do, if we would be sensitive to the person in darkness, is to wait with that person in the darkness and to experience and be in solidarity with that darkness. Otherwise, the darkness is obviously so threatening to us that we would rush to the cure. And I think it is also characteristic of us that we wish to bring premature closure to the darkness through superficial band-aids that cannot really help. Sometimes, maybe a psalm like 88 is the greatest comfort that one could share with another in the darkness. William Styron, the novelist who wrote Sophie's Choice, tells this very tragic story. And Stingo, the main character's, boards a bus in Washington, D.C. to go to New York to make arrangements for the funeral of his two most intimate friends who have committed suicide. And as he boards the bus, he is bereft of any human comfort. and a black woman sits next to him and senses his mood and lines out Psalm 88. And he's comforted. Are there not times in our lives when we really can't receive chirpy words? Are there not experiences that are so deep and dark that the happy words of those who would bring us out of it simply drive us more deeply into our despair? Isn't it more honest for us as the people of God and people of faith to simply admit that there are those times when we must dwell in the darkness and wait? The biblical word wait is a word that has the connotation of hope. It is a word that has a sense of expectation. It's really interesting to me that William Styron, who wrote Sophie's Choice, later in his life went through a period of deep darkness. And being the excellent writer that he is, he wrote as vividly as I have ever read the description of the soul in darkness. The book is called Darkness Visible. And he spoke about that experience and the impossibility of anyone coming to comfort. And his only word of consolation was, as he spoke on the other side of the experience, is that one day, unpredictably, surprisingly, the cloud lifts. And so, Psalm 88 is in the Psalter because it really is true to our human experience. Life sometimes for all of us, and most times for many people, is an experience of darkness. And it is spiritually healthy to own the darkness and to wait on the Lord. Without easy cliches or superficial promises, just to wait, as Jesus waited in the darkness. And we cannot forget that he died in the darkness. A preacher is tempted after saying that to point to Easter. But that's what we preachers do too quickly. And we shape and form you with the same tendency, when perhaps it would be well for us simply to acknowledge that sometimes the song ends with darkness. This service will not end in darkness, however. It will end with bread and cup. That came as signs out of the darkness. That even in the darkness, there is a love that will not let us go. Let us pray. Eternal God, whatever our circumstance or situation, enable us in these moments to remember Jesus, who took bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you." Who took the cup and shared it with them, saying, "This is the covenant of my blood. This cup, my blood, poured out for many." Spirit of the living God, in these moments enable us, whatever our circumstance or situation, to receive bread and cup as the body and blood of Christ, to be enlivened, to be strengthened, to find hope and courage in order, whether we be in darkness or in light, to follow in his way. Enable us, O God, in these moments as we partake of this bread and this cup, to rest in your loving heart. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said, "This bread is my body." And he said, "This cup is my blood." And when you eat this bread and drink this cup, remember, whether in darkness or in light.